Big Mind: How Collective Intelligence Can Change Our World. Author: Jeff Mulgan. Part 1: The Paradox of a Smart World. Collective intelligence is the capacity of groups to make good decisions, to choose what to do and who to do it with, through both human and machine capabilities. The way intelligence is organized are fractal in nature, with similar patterns occurring on multiple scales, from groups of friends to organizations and whole societies. Understanding how we work together has been a central concern of social science for several centuries. Some mechanisms allow individual choices to be aggregated in a socially useful way, requiring no conscious collaboration or shared identity. This is the logic of the invisible hand of the market and some of the recent experiments with digital collective intelligence like Wikipedia. In other cases, such as communes, friends on vacation, or work teams, there is the conscious mutual coordination of people with relatively equal power, which usually involves a lot of conversation and negotiation. In others, for instance, big cooperation like Google or Samsung, ancient Greek armies, or modern global NGOs, hierarchy organizes cooperation. Part 2: Making Sense of Collective Intelligence as Choice. The functional elements of collective intelligence. On each scale, collective intelligence depends on functional capabilities or elements. A live model of the world. To act, we need an implicit or explicit model of our world, how it works, how things cause other things to happen, how other people behave, and what matters. Observation. No living intelligence can survive without the ability to observe the surrounding environment. Attention and focus. The ability to focus well is useful, not only for personal effectiveness, but also for organizations to have the ability to kill puppies, to stop the projects that are interesting and appealing, yet ultimately a diversion. Analysis and reasoning. The core of any intelligence is to analyze and interpret the observations. Creation or creativity. Throughout life, creativity is more playful than other elements of intelligence. Our brains are well placed to imagine, and we show from an early age the ability to make new things, sometimes using analogy, metaphor, or combination. Memory. Organizations and groups, like individuals, may be shaped as much by the memories they have deliberately forgotten as by the ones they readily access. The challenge isn't just to remember. It's also to retrieve the right memory at the right time. Judgment. Judgment is where we pull together analysis and reasoning with experience and intuition. It's both rational and emotional. Without emotions to guide us, we struggle to decide in light of scarce and contradictory information. Wisdom. Wisdom involves more qualitative understanding of things seen close up or lived. We associate it with an ability to take a long view and to allow things take time to mature, gestate, and evolve, even through periods of incoherence and failure. The infrastructure that supports collective intelligence. The previous elements are then supported by infrastructures that make collective intelligence easier. Common rules, standards, and structures. The first vital infrastructure is a set of agreed-upon rules and standards. Without standardized metadata and tags, it's hard to organize information to be useful. Yet these are still missing in many important fields. Intelligent artifacts. Even before the ubiquity of digital technologies, it was evident that thought could happen outside as well as inside the brain of the thinker. Everyday intelligence is becoming ever more tightly coupled with the social and physical environment. The history of culture has constantly reshaped, and in everyday life we rely on others to make us remember and think. The idea that thought only takes place within autonomous, bounded individuals will appear ever more far-fetched. Investment of scarce resources in infrastructural capacities. Institutions that can concentrate time and resources over long periods are the third set of infrastructures for collective intelligence. Intelligence requires work, time, and energy, all of which could be devoted to other things. Societies of mind. Networks are the fourth infrastructure for collective intelligence. Science is highly collective in nature. A scientific paper can have more than 100 co-authors. Despite living in an individualistic culture, teams tend to dominate not just in science, but also in business, technology development, and government. Which is why the craft skills of how to recruit, motivate, and manage teams have become as important to the practice of collective intelligence as the hardware and software. Part 3. The Autonomy of Intelligence. In the 1950s, a cult formed in suburban Minnesota, led by a woman called Mary Ann Kiesch. She predicted that during the night of December 20, 1954, the world would come to an end, but that a spaceship landing by her house at midnight would save her and her cult members. Neither happened, but the cult didn't become disheartened. Instead, they concluded that the strength of their faith had saved the world from imminent disaster, and from then on, they went out recruiting with renewed vigor. The psychologist Leon Festinger used Kiesch's case to demonstrate his theory of cognitive dissonance, which described the many ways of which we adapt, spin, edit, and distort to maintain a coherent worldview. These ways help us to survive and sustain our sense of self, and they do the same for groups, but they are frequently the enemies of intelligence, and on a large scale, of collective intelligence. A group with more autonomous intelligence will fare better than one with less autonomy. It will fall victim less often to the vices of confirmation bias or functional fixedness. It's more likely to see facts for what they are, interpret accurately, create usefully, or remember sharply. Knowledge will always be skewed by power and status, as well as our pre-existing beliefs. We seek confirmation, but these are matters of degree. We could all try to struggle with our own nature and cultivate this autonomy along with the humility to respond to intelligence. Or we can spend our lives seeking confirmation, like Kiesch and her followers. The modern world is full of institutions that reinforce the autonomy of intelligence against the temptations to illusion and self-deception. A functioning market economy depends on independent auditors assessing company accounts as accurate. Markets depend on accountability procedures, shareholders' meetings that potentially challenge management that have become carried away, and free media that can uncover deceptions. More recently, the movement to promote open data in business has made it easier to track ownership patterns and corporate behaviors. Over 80 million businesses are tracked by open corporates. These devices all exist to make lies and deception harder. These defenses against deception are the corollary of the expansion of autonomous intelligence within societies and daily life, giving people the freedom to explore, think, and imagine without constraints. This was the logic of the Enlightenment, as well as the great wave of tinkerers and fiddlers who energized the Industrial Revolution and held a view of freedom as the freedom to try things out. Some of their work was logical and linear, but much of it was more iterative and exploratory, testing ideas and options for feel as well as coherence, multiplying arguments, and seeing whether they stood up or not. Part 4. Collective intelligence in everyday life. Almost every aspect of daily life is in some way shaped by the intelligence of the systems around us. This includes an economy that provides work and goods, democratic institutions and government that presents, supports, and protects us, universities that help us understand, and the million of meetings that take place every day to help us cooperate with others. Meetings. Many of us spend much of our time in meetings. They are the everyday expression of collective intelligence, bringing groups together to think. But often they feel like a waste of time and fail to make the most of the knowledge and experience of the people present. Oddly, the vast majority of meetings in business, academia, and politics ignore almost everything that is known about what makes meetings work. We depend greatly on meetings, and our dependence fuels frustration. The typical meeting barely attempts to make the most of the knowledge and experience in the room. The loudest or more powerful speak the most, drowning out the weak or shy, and much that should be said is not. Part 5. Collective intelligence as expanded possibility. My son once told me that I was too dumb to be a droid. The march of smart machines would soon make me obsolete. He was reflecting the many forecasts now available on the potential impact of automation on jobs. Machines may replace or transform half of all jobs in the next 20 years. Whole sectors could be disrupted, transformed, and turned inside out, as much of what robots do, observing through sensors, moving limbs, or providing analytic capacity and memory, continued to be embedded into smartphones, household goods, cars, or clothing, and thus into daily life. In the United States, for example, in many states, the most common job is truck driver, a job that is eminently replaceable by autonomous vehicles. This is an inescapable tension between the pull of what's close at hand and present and the aspiration to think and act bigger, wider, and over longer time scales. Indeed, many may feel uncomfortable with the idea of a more integrated and open collective intelligence that dissolve the boundaries of the self, that will know us too well, spot our weaknesses, and challenge our illusions or performance. But an evolution that takes humanity to ever greater levels of collective intelligence isn't meant to be a comforting evolution or a path that promises an end to fear. It instead will take us to new levels of awareness that will expand horizons and uncertainty at the same time, including our anxieties not just about machines that outclass us, but also about what we do if the machines fail, if the network crashed or electricity turns off, and we no longer have the reserves of human skill to cope without them.